Good evening and welcome to the meeting of Ardell District Council's Planning Committee. We're not expecting a fire alarm tonight, so if it does sound, it is for real. Please leave the building by the rear doors or the door to my right and congregate in the top car park. Ladies and gents' toilets are in the corridor along with drinking water. Please can you ensure your mobile phones are switched off or on silent. We do have a number of speakers tonight. Each speaker will have 3 minutes and I will give an audible warning when there are 30 seconds left. Do all members have a copy of the agenda papers? Lovely. Moving on to the agenda. Agenda item one, apologies for absence. Have we received any apologies?
Apologies have been received from Councillor Shields. There is no substitute.
Thank you. Agenda item two, declarations of interest. Do any members have any declarations to declare? Councillor Paul Andrews. Sorry, can you put your microphone on, please? Thank you.
Item number six, Chairman. I know the applicant. There's personal interest. Can I also say that I have another engagement, so I shall have to leave here just before 7 o'clock.
Thank you for letting me know. Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yes, item six, the applicant's wife is a current district councillor. So, personal, non-prejudicial, non-pecuniary.
Thank you. I'll take that on block for all of us, if that's okay. Thank you. Are there any further ones? I'd just like to declare a personal, non-prejudicial, non-pecuniary interest in agenda item 9 as I have been lobbied. Thank you. Agenda item 3, minutes of the meeting held on the 13th of March. Do you agree that these are a correct record? I will move the minutes from the chair. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Cleary. I'll put those to the vote. That's unanimous. The minutes have been approved. Agenda item 4, I have no urgent business. Agenda item 5 is a schedule of items to be determined by the committee. So we'll move on to agenda item 6, which is application land on west side of Thornton Lane, Thornley Dale.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Members will be able to see on the screen the site of the land which is the subject of a application for a certificate of lawfulness. It comprises a field shelter and access, and the land, relevant land, is shown edge red. Members have a report before them in relation to the application for a certificate of lawfulness. And at the outset, I think it's very helpful just to make a distinction between a planning application, which members of this committee have considered many planning applications, which really is a decision based on the application of planning policies and the merits of the proposed development. In this particular case, Madam Chairman, this is a certificate of lawfulness, and the planning merits of the development that have taken place here are not relevant. It is basically a decision based on the facts and the law, and planning policy is not relevant to the decision-making process here. It's just a question of the applicant, Mr. Martin Sanderson, being able to provide evidence, and the onus of proof is on him to provide evidence, that the field shelter and other matters have been there for 4 years. And if the committee is satisfied that there is evidence to demonstrate that on the balance of probability, which is the standard of proof in this case, the civil standard of proof, members will be in a position to grant a certificate. So members have before them a report which goes into the considers the evidence that's been put forward, and on the basis of the evidence, the officer recommendations, which is at page 15 on tonight's agenda, is that the applicant's evidence is considered to be sufficiently precise and unambiguous to allow the granting of a certificate for the following lawful development. And it's in four elements. The first element is the construction of a field shelter for horses. The second element is the formation of a gated vehicular access to Thornton Lane. The third element is siting of a container for storage of hay. And finally, equestrian use, comprising the keeping of up to three horses for personal use, including the letting of land for that purpose. So that's the recommendation of officers on this application, and Madam Chairman, members of this committee are requested to consider the recommendation. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Anthony or Gary? No? We'll move straight into debate. Does anybody want to take this one? Sorry, Councillor.
Move it, Chairman.
Councillor Clary. Can you just put your...
I beg your pardon, Madam Chairman. Yes, Councillor Andrews has already moved it. I'm prepared to second it. I'm more than happy with the information given.
Thank you. It has been moved and seconded, so we'll put that to the vote. Thank you. That's unanimous, and the application has been approved. Thank you, Anthony. Moving on to agenda item 7, which is application at Brickway Outbuilding, Barton Hill, Malton. I'll get Gary to outline the site. We do have some speakers.
Thank you, Chairman. I won't labour the point in terms of the report. What you have before you, as you'll see, is an application that's been with us for some time, and there's been a degree of backwards and forwards with the applicant, with the case officer, and a variety of additional information submitted over the course of dealing with the application. But I thought what would be very helpful for members would be to show you some photographs of the application site, the buildings in question, and the surrounding area, because I think that's probably the key consideration underlying all of this. If members are able to turn to page 31 of the agenda papers, what you see there is the red line of the application site, and within that red line there's a slightly greyed area, which is the access road from the adjacent public highway, which is to the north. It's quite near to the Barton Crossroads, this site, on the south side of the road. And from that junction, there's a bit of an S-bend. You go past this site and carry on across the railway crossing, so that's it's in that location. And in that vicinity, there are some other residential properties which you get a feel for in terms of the location plan that's on page 31. I thought it would be useful, however, just to... highlight some of the salient features, and I'm conscious, Chairman, that I think we've got an objector and the applicant registered to speak, so I won't labour the points that the objectors have raised in the report or indeed the applicant's proposed responses. So this, Chairman and members, is photograph point here is actually from within the site. Stood at the southern end of the grey part of the access track. So you're within the access track, looking back up to the entrance to where the highway is into the site. And to the side here, you just start to see the edge of the building that is proposed to be reclad, which is currently clad in what's described as asbestos. I'm not sure if it is asbestos or fibre cement, but you'll see in a moment what the building actually looks like. This access driveway, as you can see here, although they're quite well-established conifers at this point, runs in between the sides of two existing residential properties. And this is that view looking back the other way. So this is a Google view, but you can see on the one side there's a two-storey house, and on this side is a bungalow, and there are other bungalows of this era in the immediate vicinity. These particular properties are of a later vintage than some of the others that are in the vicinity, most notably Brickyard Cottage, which is cottages rather shown on the plan, which are much older. And it's that property which is shown on the plan there as two Brickyard Cottages on that plan, which has its curtilage immediately adjacent to the northern site boundary. So it's that relationship with dwellings that's really the key issue. So this is going back into the site. So you picture where the first photograph was taken from. This is panning around, heading towards the building that would be reclad. So it's that building there. And immediately behind it is the curtilage of the adjacent residential property. And as you pan round, the red line that's comprising the application site is a sort of arbitrary line on the site. There's no boundary at the moment. It forms part of a bigger site that in the past was referred to as the brickworks and the haulage yard. And here you can see what's almost like a classic lorry. You know, not sure how often it actually gets used. But this is more of a close-up of that lorry in that area. So it's in this area here that the temporary structure would be situated behind this building, which is the building that's being proposed for the permanent use. This is a view looking back the other way. As you can see, it's a building that's not in the best of conditions, and the proposal is essentially to totally refurbish this this structure. And that's a view just looking back towards the hedgerow and shrubbery of the adjacent residential property. This is from the back of the site, and so from here, this is where the cabin would sit. And again, this fence line here is the boundary to the adjacent property. In the distance, you can see the properties that are on the road frontage. You get glimpse views of various buildings as you look around the site. And this is the view looking the other way into that corner of the application site. And the reason this photograph was taken, although it's hedged and there's some greenery on the shrubs at this time of the year, you can see that window behind there. That's the back of the nearest part of Brickyard Cottage. So it's the older dwelling behind. This is panning back round looking at the other buildings on the site. So there's a building here just through the side of that lorry I pointed out earlier, which looks as though it's used for some sort of storage, but there was no active use when I was on site yesterday. And there are other odd bits and pieces of machinery scattered around the site and some open storage. So this is panning round, looking from the side of that building, looking out to open countryside and the railway beyond. So this view is from within the curtilage of the property shown on that plan as number two Brickyard Cottage. So you're looking back at the building, and the container would be in this area here. So this is their garden area, and this is a view from further into the garden area, panning round to the back of that building. So the curtilage runs as far as the building. Okay. So I hope that gives you a feel really for the relationship between the commercial site and the residential properties. As I say, the report is comprehensive. I don't intend to go into the detail of the report. I'm just aware that there are two speakers, Chairman, so I think it's probably best to hear from them.
Firstly is Mr. Allenby. Thank you.
I've made some further notes. I have written in and made our objections quite well known. There's just one or two things have come to light over a period of time. First, we wrote in having written various letters since last July, I failed to mention the noise that will be emitted if the planning goes ahead from the filtration system, which is suggested to be 50 decibels, and also for a proposed 60-hour working week, ensuring that smells and visual impact from the new chimney on us particularly and other neighbours. This will impact negatively on the whole southern boundary of our property. The boundary is some 2 metres away from that low building. Commencing with a porter cabin, which is a temporary issue for 3 years. There will be further removal of and renovation of the old asbestos building. We would have no right of privacy whatsoever impacting on our residential and visual amenities. I must stress the garden looks a bit untidy at the moment because due to an accident I haven't been able to keep up with it. Environmentally, we're a little bit concerned of the additional increased vermin in the area. We have behind the big house on the left of the lane going down stables and a menage, and in the past we have had problems with rats. Not an issue at the moment, but we have had those sort of problems in the past. If planning was granted and the applicant's business was not successful, what would happen to said building that has been changed from storage, should the planning go through, to industrial? Would there be any further use of that building because it's been passed as industrial, or would failure of the business or movement of the business have any impact on that building being changed for other uses? That's what I've got to say further to the letters that have gone round. Thank you.
Thank you.
And now I've got the applicant, Tom Coe.
Hi, I'm Tom Coe. I was born in Malton and have lived in the area for the majority of my life. After gaining experience working around the country, I returned to be back in my hometown and set up my business, cooking in the local area as a private chef. This planning application has been thoroughly thought through and complies with local planning policy. Every measure has been taken to make sure it will not have a material adverse impact on the amenity of present or future occupants, as is evident from the plans. The approval of this application will mean that I can continue to develop an already established business. Local and national planning policies both note the need to support small independent business, specifically noted in Rydell Plans Section 5.13. The development of the business will give rise to the opportunity of local employment and training and work directly with the Rydell Economic Action Plan. Malton has been labelled the food capital of Yorkshire. Having worked at the Malton food market doing demonstrations and working locally, I feel this is very much the case, and wish to continue to work towards maintaining this reputation and continue to work in the Rydell area, which will be achievable with the approval of this application. A fundamental part of what I do is to continue to use local independent suppliers in Malton and Norton, and this is despite the financial attraction of using larger, more established purveyors from elsewhere who specialise in supplying the catering trade. The use of these small local suppliers is paramount to the philosophy that I wish to instil within the business. The current building requires some much-needed repair. It currently stands as an eyesore from the houses to the north and the Barton Willows rail crossing. I plan to make it far more aesthetically pleasing for all the neighbours concerned, as well as installing a 6-foot solid wooden fence to improve their privacy from the entire plot. In renovating the building, it will unquestionably change the overall appearance of the haulage yard for the better. The yard has an HGV licence currently until May 2021. The conversion of a shed that is currently used as storage in conjunction with the haulage to a prep kitchen is surely going to have much less material adverse impact on the amenity of the neighbouring occupants, not least in the reduced amount of haulage using the lane. The planning officers have noted that the noise from the proposed development is a concern. With the proposed extraction plan submitted and the supporting letter from the extraction specialist, it has been shown that the extraction system will keep the noise levels in the around 50 decibel level requested. It has also been noted that my use of the lane will cause harm. As mentioned, it has been used as a haulage yard for a number of years, and it is a certainty that small light goods vehicles will cause far less harm to the amenity than the heavy goods vehicles that have used it in the past.
30 seconds left.
As noted, I put in place a number of practices that will mitigate any potential harm my use of the lane could have. In conclusion, I would seek the approval of this application on the grounds that it does, in fact, meet local planning policy. The approval of the application will see an old building renovated and used to develop a business for someone who has grown in the Rydell area, and give me the opportunity to offer work and training to other local people in high-end catering, something I believe currently unavailable in the Rydale area.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Could you just turn the microphone off for me? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Just a couple of points arising from comments that speakers have made. I think Mr. Allenby, one of the points that Mr. Allenby raised at the end there was about concerns about future uses. And clearly, if a planning permission is given for a generic use in a use class, such as a general industrial use, then that does potentially mean that any other use in that use class could come in. It is possible by way of condition to specify a particular use to try and address that. But obviously, as with any planning condition, a planning condition can be challenged. So, you know, there is that to weigh in the balance. In terms of the last speaker's comments, in terms of Moulton, the capital of food, Chairman, obviously we're all very aware of the food enterprise zone, and planning. This planning committee and planning officers have been very supportive of the food sector, I think, in general terms. I think the issue here is not about the generality of supporting those uses, Chairman, but the site-specific issues where you've got a building that's cheap by jowl with residential property that's the key consideration here and has been for some time. I think the other point we've wrestled with is that because, and again I turn back to page 31 of the agenda, is because this particular application relates to such a small part of that existing site, is that, yes, this is a change of use of that particular building, but it doesn't take away any of the existing lawful uses for the rest of it either. So you could end up with a situation where the haulage uses or storage vehicles associated with the other buildings are still active, as well as what's being proposed with this additional use. And I would suggest that that existing building is not being used for an awful lot at the moment, Chairman, just by the look of it. So it's not a question of necessarily replacing one with the other. You could end up with both. And so I think if I was a resident there living either side of that access way, that would give me some cause for concern. It is a cause for concern that we've listed in the second reason for refusal at this stage. The other point to draw out that I didn't think came out from any of the speakers was the suggestion of a trial period here. And to some extent, the proposal for a temporary permission for the container is part and parcel of that, because obviously there's an extent of work to be done to convert the building to make it usable for food preparation, as you can see. And so to some extent, the temporary permission is sort of a bit stymied by that, because there's a lot of investment potentially there in terms of work to reclad the building and put all the filtration equipment in. So there is a dilemma there. But one of the suggestions by officers was that, well, was there a scope for a temporary permission to see how this works? Because we seem to be taking quite a lot on faith here in terms of how vehicles might come, what the sizes of vehicles might be, in order to really truly assess the impact on the neighbour's amenity. So I think that's the problem we've got as officers, Chairman, is there's a lot that could potentially go wrong here that we're not currently so happy that we can adequately control.
Thank you. Are there any questions to the officers? Councillor Paul Andrews.
A number of questions. First of all, there's the issue of smells, and the applicant has said that he's brought forward and suggested measures to mitigate those smells, and if not reduce them altogether. I'd like to know what those measures are. I'd like to know what the present use of the whole premises are. I mean, surely it's not the whole yard can't be entirely for storage only. When it's been used as a brickyard, I find it very difficult to understand how that building on its own could be storage and not not part of a general industrial use already anyway. The third point relates to the question of siting. Supposing the applicant was to apply for a similar building sort of further into the site and further away from residential development, would that meet the planning officer's objections?
If we can take the third question first, that is a question we've asked, and the answer is no, there isn't another site within that broader site that's available. Yeah? Well, I can't answer the question why that is, but I suspect it's because there's been either an agreement to purchase or purchase already taken place. But that was the first question, one of the first questions that was asked, is there a location elsewhere within the site that's further away from the boundary that is available? Answer, no. Okay. In terms of the comments in relation to impact on amenity, smells and noise, that's all really set out in the report, Councillor Andrews, so I'd hope that you've read that at some length, because we've gone backwards and forwards with the Environmental Health Officer to try and get to a situation where we've addressed both noise and smell. But I think to some extent some of the solutions have then given rise to other problems. But it is all set out there in the report for you, your Chairman. And the second point, your second point? The present use. There is no unequivoc planning permission here, which sets out. I think the use of this site predates planning, certainly in terms of the brickyard use. I'm sure there is, if somebody had gone to the extent and effort of doing a certificate of lawfulness, there would probably be some scope there to demonstrate these haulage activities have gone on also on the site. But the site in its wider sense is much bigger than this application site. And so what I'm saying to you is that this proposed use of this building is potentially going to go ahead, if we grant planning permission, alongside all the other uses which are perhaps generating the bigger activity. I mean, when you look back at some of these other buildings on the site, they have that feel of being able to contain heavy stuff, big, tall roller shutter doors, external storage, the sort of thing that might result in larger vehicles going on and up and down the site, and that's on adjacent land to the planning application site. So you've potentially got a duality of uses going on here.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm trying to get at, if you don't want to come back, is the whole area is called the brickyard site. It just seems to me to be a little odd that part of it can be specifically broken down to be storage. And the other part, I'm not sure what you consider to be the pre-planning use of the rest of the site.
To planning permission that nails it down, Chairman. I suspect that if we looked at it and somebody had submitted a lawfulness, there's more B8 storage and distribution type of uses than anything else, a combination of internal and external storage. But that isn't part of the application site that we're currently dealing with.
Does any other member would like to ask any questions? No? Okay, we shall move into debate. I believe the ward member is Councillor Mrs Goodrick.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. I've gone through this report really quite carefully because I really wanted to support this business development. I think it fits with our food enterprise. But should it be on the food enterprise zone, really, at Pickering? And I've looked at all the noise reports, and believe me, I know from very bitter personal experience the problems you have when a neighbour makes a noise nuisance complaint against you, and I know just how much it costs to sort it all out. So I've looked at this. I think there are significant potential problems for noise nuisance in this instance, and very, very regrettably, I've got to support the officer's recommendation for refusal on this. It disappoints me greatly, because I would very much like to see the Brickyard developed. I very much want to see your business thrive. But with all of these things, and as I say, from bitter personal experience, I really have to support the officer's recommendation for refusal.
Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yes, I'm going to second my colleague's proposal in following the officer's recommendation with regret. Again, it's not the first time that we look at an application vis-a-vis an applicant. If it was an applicant we were looking at, this would go through on a nod, but it's not. It's the application. So with regret and on balance, I'm going to support the recommendation.
Anyone else wish to speak? It has been moved and seconded for refusal as per the officer recommendations, so I shall put that to the vote. Thank you. That's 8-4 and 1 abstention, so the application has been refused. Moving on to agenda item 8 is application at Manor Farm, Back Lane, Welburn.
Thank you, Chairman. Just a correction to the report, Chairman. On site, on page 51, for some reason there's a sentence there that has come from an early report relating to Home Farm, so that needs to be struck out of the report, Chairman, because the description of the farm holding is actually overleaf on the report, on the fourth paragraph of the principle of development. So it's a bit of surplus information. There are no updates, Chairman, and this particular application is an application that is before you because it is a major application. It's a major application because of the floor area of the building, and that's the only reason it's before you tonight for consideration. I do have some photographs, though, Chairman, which I'll just quickly run through to show you how this proposed building sits with the already existing buildings on the site. So this is at the back of the site. In fact, this building would sit in between, this line of trees and this existing building. It's actually slightly lower than this existing building, so it would sit in this area of the paddock here. Just confirmed there's no tree loss associated with the construction of the building. And this is closer at hand. You can see that the building would fit in this area here. And taken from the other direction, you see a line of trees which look closer to the building than they actually are. None of these trees are actually removed as part of the building being situated in that area there. And this is a view looking back down the little paddock out into open countryside. This is the other building on site which has an extra bay added to it, so that's the other part of the application. And this is a view from the frontage of the site. So that's the frontage of that existing building I was just showing you, and the proposed building is sited behind it. So this acts as a very effective screen within the existing complex. And this is from the roadside. So that's the profile of that building I was just showing you, and the proposed building is behind that. So really this is doing all that we want agricultural buildings to do. It's tightly within the group and not intrusive in the landscape. This is from within the farmyard. It's another view of that building, so you just catch the profile of the roof within the group of buildings. But other than that, Chairman, it does exactly what we want it to. So we're recommending approval.
Are there any questions to the officer? No, we shall move into debate. We haven't got the ward member. Does Councillor Windus want to take it? Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yeah, I have no problem with this at all. It, like Gary says, it fits in well with the existing buildings and I have no problem moving approval. Thank you.
Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yes, I'm happy to second this. Fits in with everything we're trying to do, proposing moving agriculture and investment in agriculture. In many respects, it's a model application, so I'm happy to support it.
Anyone else wish to speak? It has been moved and seconded as per the recommendation, so I shall put that to the vote. That has unanimously been approved. Moving on to agenda item 9, which is application at Meadow House, Main Street, Scraingham.
Thank you, Chairman. As you'll see from the description of development, this is a retrospective application for the retention of these stables with its associated tack feed store located on a parcel of land to the rear of Meadow House, which is in Main Street, Scraingham. Meadow House is a relatively modern property, forming a line of properties that have only recently been constructed. I think this probably is the last one. There's still some building works going on. I think the key thing to really highlight here is that you don't really get a good view of this until you actually get round the rear of the premises from the main street. It is pretty much totally hidden, and the photographs will show that in a moment, although there are views obviously from the rear of the curtilages of the nearest properties that are next to it, and that has been a concern for a number of the residents who live there. But the issues also relate not just to the building but the planting scheme that was proposed to be the approved planting scheme that's proposed at the back of the dwellings, which in part has not been complied with. So there is an ongoing issue with the planting scheme, which officers are still continuing to deal with, which is a slightly separate issue. But anyway, I'll show you the photographs. This is the view stood at the end of the entrance of the property in question. So as you can see, relatively new property, walled, gated entrance. It's garaging located to the side here and quite good planting, which is on the boundary with the rectory, which you'll see in a moment. It's actually called the old rectory on the plan. The old rectory is actually elevated quite high above the plot. And just in the side there, you can see the nearest adjacent house, which is one of a pair of semi-detached properties. This is a close-up of the building in question, so it's typical stables, tack room, L-shaped building. What you can't really tell from here is it's set at a lower level behind the building, behind the dwelling, and there's some more photographs which show it in context. So this is looking back up the site. The stables here, these are the garage and ancillary buildings to the house itself, and this is the extent of the planning permission curtilage all the way along the properties. As you can see, they're relatively modest rear gardens. It's about a 12 metre distance from the from the fence to the back of the houses. And these are paddock area here. What you can see there is the field fence, the sort of typical sort of post and rail fence. What's planted there at the moment is laurel, and the approved planting scheme was showing a mixed native hedgerow, so it's a slightly different sort of set of circumstances. And this is panning across. So you see the run of the building. The new buildings are these six. So this is from the back garden of the first neighbouring property. So you can see the fence, you can see the laurel behind it, and this is the building set at a lower level. There's a pile of rubble that's to be removed here. But you can see, and it actually, if you go far enough, you don't go too far before you're on the Derwent. The Derwent's in the valley floor. So this is a view from the back of the house, so just to give you it in context. So at the moment, there's a view out of the countryside beyond. But obviously, when the hedgerow grows up, even the approved hedgerow will have the potential to limit that view. Obviously, laurel has the potential to limit everything, including daylight and sunlight, if it's left to its devices. So I think the situation is that we believe the laurel's been planted by the current owner, not the developer. So that's something we're going to have to take up separately. At this position here, although it foreshortens the distance, you can see that the stable's set at a lower level. And that's the old rectory behind, so you really get a feel for how high the rectory is in relation to this building, and this existing screening totally screens it. And that's just another view of the side of the building. This is a view from within the application site, so again you can see the stable there. And in the distance, actually, that's the line of the river, in that line of trees there. You probably fished it, Councillor Hope, I would imagine, at some point. And this is another view of the side boundary, the division there. So the laurel goes all the way down the back of the boundary and then down the side boundary is shown on the plan. That's just a close-up of what's been planted for you. So that really does have the potential to grow quick, I would have thought. But that's not the approved scheme. So we have an issue with the landscaping scheme, Chairman, which is aside from the planning application. On its merits, we think the application is acceptable and recommend approval.
Are there any questions to the officer? Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yeah, just for clarification, Gary, can you confirm it's actually the construction, retrospective construction of the stables we're talking about here, not the hedging?
The approved planning specification, which I have, which runs to about 15 pages, actually shows a mixed native hedge along the rear boundary of all of the properties. For whatever reason, it wasn't carried out by the developer behind this particular property, particular pair of properties, and the application site. Our understanding is that the subsequent planting has been done by the owner rather than the developer of the properties. But nevertheless, that's not the approved planting scheme.
Councillor Cleary.
Thank you for that. Yeah, and it's something that has just been brought to my attention that suppose we were in the event that consent is given, there doesn't appear to be a waste management plan involved in terms of other than not burning the waste. There's no actual waste management plan given the proximity to the river. I just wonder whether there's anything we should be doing about that.
Councillor Mrs Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. Just to pick up on my colleague's point about the waste management, that land, if I'm not mistaken, Gary, you said went right down to the River Derwent. I'll explain. River Derwent, this used to be my area. So the River Derwent is a European status special area of conservation. And actually the last thing I want to see is manure piled at the end of that field that then would then leach into the Derwent and give us water quality issues, which we have already got on the River Derwent. And that's really why Councillor Cleary asked for a management plan for manure to be taken away from site. Thank you.
Chairman, I don't think the site goes straight to the Derwent, but obviously there's a potential, you know, it's only a short paddock away, so that is a potential point to add to the reason for how you store your manure is perhaps sensible, less from an amenity point of view rather than a pollution control point of view. So I think that would be a problem to us, Chairman, and if we put a condition 6 into that effect to replace the one that we have got, which I won't wish to impose on this application.
Are there any further questions for the officer? If not, we shall move into debate. And the ward member is Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yes, given what we've already said, I think the siting is a good site for the stables, and it's when the retrospective, and I know that the various colleagues of mine around the table here that just start to go, it's a retrospective. However, I'm happy to support this application on the conditions on the waste management plan that I think we can probably leave to our head of planning to make sure that they're satisfactory and cover the environmental aspects of this. So I'm happy to support the application. Thank you.
Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
On a similar basis to my colleague, I'm happy to second the application.
Thank you. Does anyone else wish to speak? If not, it has been moved and seconded for approval with condition 6 of the report being removed and with a new condition with regards to waste management to be replaced. I shall put that to the vote. That has unanimously been approved. Moving on to agenda item 10, which is application at land west of Cayley Arms, Weasdale to Partings Farm, Alliston. We do have a couple of speakers, but I'll let Gary outline the application first.
Thank you, Chairman. I shan't labour the point. As you'll see, the guts of the report are actually on the late pages, so I hope members have got the detail of that. In essence, the late pages includes the appraisal of the report, the recommendation, and also a slight revision to the Local Highway Authority's recommendation to include a further sub-paragraph to his recommended verge crossing condition relating to the control of surface water from the site entering the existing highway. So that sort of dovetails with some of the issues that are raised in the report, Chairman. I think at this stage it might be helpful, sort of cognizant we've got two speakers, so I'll keep this brief, is just show some photographs of the location of the site. We also have confirmation on the late pages that the application also includes the construction of a stoned track from the access to the building that's proposed. So that's also on the late pages, Chairman. So this is, if we're looking at the last page of the late pages, Chairman, this is the proposed access point off the A170. As you get a feel for the roadway level dropping from west to east as you're heading from the Thornton-Ladale direction. And this is what I'll call the east parcel of land, which is the smaller parcel. And the current access, or the main field access, is accessed near to the eastern end of that, near the Cayley Arms. This, however, there's obviously been a gateway entrance at this point here on the second parcel of land, and it's at this point that the proposed access improvement works would take place. And you'll see here, whilst there's a gated entrance that's been here for some time and a fairly wide verge, the sets aren't dropped and lowered at that point. whereas further down they're actually still sets, but they're lowered and angled down to facilitate a crossing. Quite well-established hedgerows along the boundaries adjacent to the highway, although obviously at this time of the year they're all indigenous, and so you know you can see quite a lot through them. This is a view from that point looking back up towards Thornton Dale, so you've got the speed limit signs there. It's at that point that traffic drops down to a 40 mile per hour coming into the Alliston locality, so obviously vehicle speeds are potentially dropping, but they're rising as you're getting up to that point and vehicles are coming downhill. The verge is pretty wide at that point. This is a view looking back the other way. So you've got the Alliston Village sign, the village crossroads just over here, and behind that bend, hidden by the hedge, is the Cayley Arms. So, and if you go past there, then the road goes back up again. You're in a bit of a dip there. And the bus stop's just here. So that's a view of the first photograph I've just shown you from the adjacent or opposite side of the road. As you see, the land's rising as you're going from south to north. And that's one of the issues with the building being located at the higher end of the site. It actually makes it more visible than it might otherwise be. This is taken from that gateway. So here you see the entrance from the adjacent paddock, field entrance, and it goes up the field there. So the building would be located roughly in this area here. And that's panning across this paddock. So that's the whole of the paddock. Again, on rising land from south to north. This is a view from in front of the first of the dwellings that I showed you from the first point. As you can see, the road's raising. You've got quite an undulation in the landscape here. So the road's undulating west to east and back up again. And generally the landform's rising from south to north. So you're in a bit of a vale. And this is the existing field entrance on the smaller parcel of land. So you see there the sets are angled down for the verge crossing. Although it's very, very wet at this point, the access currently into that field, I would suggest more often than not, is through here, through the gateway and then up. And that's just another view of that to show. You can barely make it out, but there's a wire fence across this parcel of land, which is the extent of the ownership. And then that's the hedgerow of the parcel of land which the building would be located behind it, but again on rising land. This view is taken from within the site, roughly where the building was proposed to be on the plans that you've got before you. So that's the A170 there in the distance, and I've got another photograph at the end that sort of shows you it from a more distant view at the top of the hill. And this is panning round back towards the gated access, so that's looking back down the hill. But it gives you a feel for the change in levels as you're standing on the northern part of the site. This was a photograph taken at the second time of visiting the site when I met the applicant on site. As you'll have seen from the comments, some of the comments have been concerned have been around drainage and surface water runoff. This is that verge which was pretty waterlogged at that point, and you can't really see it that well, but there was water coming off the land onto the road. I think one of the notions that's been proposed as part of this scheme is that some additional land drainage will be going in any event to intercept this, as well as the requirements of the Highway Authority to stop that happening. This is the view further up that I just mentioned to you that I'd show. This is further from the west towards the top of the hill where the signs were, and the building would be located on higher ground in this area here. So I think our concerns really distill to the location on higher ground and the proportions of the building. And I think that's something that the applicant is prepared to negotiate on in terms of moving the building further south and reducing the height of the building to limit its access. That photograph, you'll think, what on earth is that? Well, that's actually the beck that runs through Alliston Village. And just out of sight here there's the land drain that comes off the lower parcel of land into that beck. When we visited the site, we'd just gone through a period of really heavy rain, and as you can see, the pipes are actually well within capacity. So I think in terms of the additional runoff associated with a building of this size, I think it's relatively modest. We're not really that worried about the drainage coming, you know, in terms of the building, which actually is some distance from this this watercourse. So that's it, Chairman. Nothing else to add at this stage.
Thank you. Well, we do have two speakers. Firstly, we've got Councillor Mrs. Sanderson.
Thank you, Chairman. Good evening, everybody. I absolutely support farmers building shelters for their livestock, but I have serious considerations about this application. Gary's already pointed out the sensitivity of the landscape character, particularly on a hillside location. There's little doubt that a structure of this size would be visually prominent in a sensitive area. A tractor will be housed in a shed, but how large a tractor do you need to support 12 sheep? Fodder is to be kept on a mezzanine floor, so this will not impose on the floor space used for housing of animals. Based on the National Sheep Association figures, the land would support grazing for around 25 sheep. The proposed building could easily accommodate around 150 sheep, so you have to ask why the building needs to be 7 times bigger than the size that the land will support. My second point is around the potential environmental impact of any associated effluents. Straw will not mop up all effluent, and there is no mention of where the waste straw will be kept, which could be left to filter back into the watercourse. The land use is not tied to 12 sheep. I mean, in the future it might be pig bed and breakfast or anything, so we don't know what it's tied to. Alliston has a lot of sensitivities regard to its water course, which comes from a local spring. And so it would be prudent to have a full environmental appraisal on any possible impact that the village water supply, the impact on the village water supply. Also, the applicant mentions directing any waste drainage across the back of the Cayley Arms. Could this impact on the pub, the beer garden, and the outdoor eating facilities? Has this been taken into consideration? My final point is around the proposed access onto the A170, where there has been a cluster of accidents eastbound. It's quite possible for vehicles coming round that bend, which you saw in the picture, to encounter stationary traffic turning right into the village or left into the Cayley Arms. Highways Constitution says that there is a slight shortfall in the required visibility display. The Parish Council have said that there are concerns about the access. The statutory duty of a highway authority is to reduce casualties, so only accidents involving injury are logged. Our Road Safety Awareness Officer reports 2 collisions involving injury here in the last 3 years. I actually emailed her yesterday because I couldn't get hold of Stephen Boyne. However, over this winter, residents have witnessed the remainders of 3 other crashes, leaving vehicles to be recovered. A pickup truck in dry road conditions hit a car waiting to turn right into the village, and another car was left on its side on the opposite side of the road. Overall, there are just too many questions left unanswered for me about this application. At the very least, I would like further clarification from Highways regarding the accident history and more detail regarding effluent, regarding the impact on the pub and the village water supply. Setting these 2 issues aside, we still have the impact of this very large building on the area of high landscape value, and this cannot be acceptable.
I'm afraid you've gone over your 3 minutes, Councillor.
Thank you. I have absolutely finished now.
Thank you. And now we have the applicant, Oliver Stead. If you could just put the microphone on, it's a large button in the middle. Thank you.
Evening. Well, I wasn't quite expecting that. The drainage will improve the A170. I am willing to negotiate siting, size of the building, whatever it takes. There will be no impact on the water course at all, because if you're there, you can clearly see that the drainage pipe enters straight into the beck below the Cayley Arms and the spring. So that's about that. Obviously the shed is designed for further expansion, tractor, sheep, just setting off, buying more sheep, more land, renting land, expansion. So that's that. And really, I am willing to just negotiate terms, whichever siting of the building. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, Chairman, just on the point of the surface water issue, I think the Highway Authority's comment was that they saw the interception of surface water from that verge as it currently is coming off the land now as a potential benefit of the scheme. The highway comment doesn't give me accident records. All it does give me is a recommendation that they're happy with the access and the vision splays in what is a 40 mile an hour limit area. But as a result of the comments that have been made around the surface water drainage issue, I did go back to the Highway Authority, and hence you've got that additional recommendation that they wish to control the design of the surface water of the verge crossing. So that's the update really from Highways rather than an accident record, Chairman. The applicant has indicated that he's willing, whilst he'd prefer to have the building where he's proposed it, that he'd be willing to roughly move it halfway down the field to where it's going. Obviously, the further south you go, the wetter it gets. So it's that sort of compromise, really, Chairman. And also indicated that he'd be able to reduce the height of the building by about a metre. I think, again, that's set by the entrance to the building and the height of the tractor. So that would bring your eaves height down to about 4 metres or so. And then the apex retaining the same roof pitches by about another by a metre below what's being specified. So I think those were the sort of things we had in mind with the recommendation, Chairman, in terms of seeking that delegation. But obviously that in itself would be subject to reconsultation. That's where we are with the recommendation, Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any questions to the officer? Councillor Hope.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. Gary, can you go back to one of the photographs where you're looking into the village and the Cayley Arms is on the left, please? Cayley Arms is down. I'll be honest, I'm not right familiar with this area, but where's the entrance on there to the site? Right.
So it's sort of parallel with
you. Yeah. Because I noticed the highways are not right keen on the splay, are they? Splay vision. Somewhere else.
Yeah,
sorry, mine's gone off.
In assessing the submitted proposals and reaching its recommendation, the local highway authority has taken into account the following matters. The design standard for the site is DMRB, that's Manual for Roads and Bridges, and the required visibility display is 2.4 by 120 metres. The available visibility is 2.4 metres by over 120 metres to the west, that's this Thornton, and 97 metres to the east. The slight shortfall in required visibility of the east is considered on balance to be acceptable, given that the access gate already exists and the approach gradient is uphill from that direction, which results in slightly shorter stopping distances and no overtaking is permitted. So in other words, you're normally when you do a line of sight, you do it on the same side of the road as the access is. But what he's saying is because there's no overtaking and it's uphill, your actual sight of an oncoming vehicle, if you splayed it over to the opposite carriageway, would be in excess of 97 metres. So that's what he's saying. And he goes on to say, consequently, the local highway authority recommends the following conditions are attached, which is a verge crossing condition. subject to the additional criteria of control over surface water coming off the access, not coming off the access onto the highway, which if I show you this other photograph again, and it was a devil of a photograph to take, but that one, what you've got coming off, this is without any access or anything, it's just coming off the ground now, is basically, at times of heavy rainfall, obviously we've had some heavy rainfall, it's not just staying in the verge, it's coming out onto the carriageway. And if we can control that, that's a benefit of the scheme, which is what the report suggests.
Good, thank you. Thank you for reading that out, Gary.
Are there any further questions for the officer? No, we shall then move into debate. Don't have the local ward member. Was anybody wishing to take this? Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. There are too many imponderables here. I'd actually like to propose a deferral. The details, the applicant has said that he'd like to, he would be willing to resite and resize, redimension the building. I think along the deferral, that if we could set that, the offer to reduce the size possibly and resite it further down the hill, possibly see details of planting, a planting scheme, something like that, which would help. I think in those terms, I'd like to propose a deferral.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm going to support Councillor Cleary's call for a deferral. For me, the building is far too big, and I appreciate the applicant's suggestion that he's going to expand his building, but the building's far too big for the amount of sheep that will graze on the land. It's much too tall, it's too visible, and I think we need to do a bit more further work with the applicant, and rather than refuse it, I'd rather do a deferral so it gives us time to discuss what we can do to make it better.
Thank you. Good. Councillor Maud.
Thank you, Chairman. My experience of putting up farm buildings is that they're never big enough. But in this situation, and looking at the wet verge, it's as a farmer, I know that you're not supposed to let mucky wet water go onto the road from your field. I just don't know how that's going to be controlled. I would imagine it's impossible to put a soakaway there because of the, it'll be only because of the stone underneath. It's not going to be one of the easiest problems to overcome. And I'll support a deferral, and let's hope that a bit more thought can come out of it, and an improved result. But I'm not too. I wouldn't like to go ahead and say, yeah, let's have this here, and then, because I pass by there very regularly. I have a son who lives in Pickering, and I travel that way around, calling it the scenic route rather than the 169. And so I am well familiar with it, and I wouldn't like to be going by thinking, oh, look what I've done. So I can't support it at this stage. A deferral, fine. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I think Gary was just wanting to come back.
Yes, Chairman. I mean, in effect, the recommendation was deferral. It was just deferral to me rather than bringing it back to you. I mean, if you want me to bring it back to you for a final yea or nay, it doesn't really matter. Obviously, the applicant's still in the situation of having to submit an amended plan. We will reconsult on it, and it will come back to you hopefully in 4 weeks' time if we can move quickly enough to do that. As opposed to delegating it to me to do that, I don't feel strongly about that, Chairman. It's more a question of there does need to be an amended plan. We will need to reconsult on it. So we're not making a decision tonight, in the sense of one way or the other. So it's not a real problem.
Lovely. It has been moved and seconded for deferral, I would quite like to see it come back to committee for us to look at. So I will put that proviso on the deferral, and so I'll move that to the vote if that's. That is unanimous. The application has been deferred. Moving on to agenda item 11, any other business. I just have one item, which is that it's come to my attention that the July meeting at the end of the month, the 31st of July, does fall on Rydale Show Day. Shock horror. So I'd like to propose that we move it on one day to Wednesday, the 1st of August, to make it more convenient for councillors and officers. Councillor Hope.
Yes, Chairman, I'll agree with that, and I'll move that we move the date. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I'll second that we move the date. So if you're all in agreement, I'll put the wheels in motion for that. Are you okay with that, Joy, or are you having...
No, it's fine.
Is that okay? You're just going to... Okay. Right, well, we'll put the wheels in motion for that then. Thank you. Agenda item 12 is a list of applications determined under delegated powers, pages 85 to 90. And the last agenda item is agenda item 17, which is the appeals, pages 91 to 102. Gary, is there anything you'd like to say on any of those?
Well, not really, Chairman, other than to report that last year the planning inspectorate seem to be dragging their feet a little bit at the moment with appeal decisions, but last year we had 18 decisions, of which only four were upheld, which is a percentage, I think, is 22%, which is way below the sort of national average. And whilst it's difficult to sort of draw too many conclusions from small numbers on the statistics, when they're in our favour, why not? So we'll take that one. So yes, we're doing pretty well on appeals at the minute. In fact, we won another one today, so starting the year well. But let's see how we go. I think Councillor Goodrick will probably recall coming to the Upper Helmsley appeal. That was a hearing about a week or so ago, which took all day, and we still haven't heard yet on that one. So sorry to raise you up there to keep you in suspension, but there you go. So we'll wait and hear, fingers crossed. We managed to lose the inspector twice. He drove past Tara Park, and then he drove past Upper Helmsley. So he was gone for 15 minutes on the second one. So what can you do?
Lovely, thank you. That is the end of the agenda, so therefore I will close the meeting. Thank you all for attending, and have a safe journey home. Thank you.